The next song is titled "I Will Boast." I will boast. Listen, you can brag about Jesus because it's all about him. So, church, it's time to brag. It's time to tell people who need to know Jesus who he is and what he has done for them by his grace and love. So I will boast. Would you join us in boasting, please? How many of you have ever gone through a period of time when you felt that there was no hope? Well, if you haven't, it's coming. But to echo the words of Paul, when God is for us, who can be against us? Horatio Spafford wrote this song. It's a great song. And he wrote it in response to his three daughters drowning when a steamship sank going to England after the Chicago fire. And the captain woke him up about 2 in the morning and said to Mr. Spafford, "We're about at the position where the ship went down." So he grabbed an envelope and a pen, and he wrote this song. In the middle of mourning the loss of his daughters. Would you sing it, please? Were they bothering you up there?
No.
Or sometimes I'll come and hit you in the back of the head, you know. One of the, I don't blame her. one of the responsive readings that I really went back and forth on this past week. It's been a tough week, and it just occurred to me, one of the reasons why we continue fellowshipping and one of the reasons why we continue to do things like the men's group and the dinners at Perkins and this coming Sunday, the picnic, is that unity is important. And when we understand that we're a bunch of imperfect people, saved by the grace of God. We don't deserve it. And we can come together in fellowship, give him praise for his grace and mercy towards us, and enjoy each other's company, then it's a valuable thing. So Psalm 133, would you read this with me? And I'll unpack it a little bit after we read it. Are you ready? It is like precious oil. Wait, am I at the beginning? Wait a minute. There it is. Here we go. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion, for where the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. You know, as I look at that and hear that, Satan's having a field day because he's going to do his best to keep churches closed, and he's going to do his best to keep people from church, simply because he knows that the more you do it, the easier it gets. Number one, for believers. And number two, he wants to rob us of all the blessings that God has for us. Now, I want you to think back a little bit. I want you to think that back to before you met Christ, and understand that if it hadn't been for Christ, you probably wouldn't be associating with the people you're associating with now. Isn't that true? Now, look, we're all imperfect. Every once in a while, we'll rub each other the wrong way, just like a family, right? But we serve a God who's greater and a Lord. We all serve the same Lord. And so we have to remember what blessings. The picture of oil is an anointing. And this is not just a dabble. In order to get it dripped down, you got to put some oil on, right? And oil back in Jesus' day, or back in the Old Testament times, also was soothing, okay? And it was expensive. It was very expensive. I think it's Italian olive oil, but I don't know. It was expensive. And to have it flow just meant that unity brought such blessing beyond what we could ever cherish. You know, I can't emphasize this enough. Whatever happens with COVID, we need to follow the guidelines. I'm not questioning that. But what we need to do is get back to worship again. We need to get back to fellowship. We need to get back to family. And the fact of the matter is, stronger the families are, the stronger churches are. And the stronger churches are, the stronger communities are. And the stronger communities are, the stronger our state will be. And we got to stop buying into the nonsense of fear. I joke with Doc a lot. I said, you know, here I go. Yeah, I got the first shot of my COVID vaccine, another one next week. And I said, with my luck, you know, I'll be vaccinated against COVID, and I'll die of a heart attack. You don't know. You know, I say that jokingly. You just don't know. God knows the days. And for every Christ follower here, he has called us to be part of something bigger. Bigger than what? Bigger than us. And so, we'll go on and we'll do what God commands us to do, and that is meet together in unity. We have a special Mother's Day presentation, and I don't know if Mary Lou's going to come in for this, but you and Naomi? Okay. And Emily, you want to do the slides first? Janine put together a bunch of interesting slides. Melissa, can you make the lights a little lower? Yes. Yeah, Emily did this. So go ahead, Em. It's Gail and her mother. You see Gail over here, right? Okay? She's still the same age, right? Right. Nancy Moffitt. Nancy's down in Virginia with her daughter, right? Go ahead. Gee, I wonder who that is. It's the Pezzolano clan. Who's the baby? Oh, okay. That was Emily. Of course, yeah, and Angela's in that picture too, and Kimmy was that high, right? Lorraine's mom, Sue, who I got to know, and Tom's mom, Janet. That's Tommy, by the way. Right? You remember that well? Lorraine and her kids, her tribe, right? All back there, Brianna and Chrissy. And who's the munchkin on your lap? That's Rosie, right? That's Rosie. All right? And then that, we'll go back to that other picture for a minute. I don't know where that was taken, but that's a great picture. Slowly I turn. No. Slowly. And is that James in front of you, right?
Yes, it is.
They grow up quickly. Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. Okay, next. Bonnie. Great family. And I don't know the names. Tell me the names of your children again, Bonnie. RJ and Adam, okay. And that's Bonnie's kids and another great family, right? Who's that? That's Chip and his mom, who has great stories about Chip, by the way. Yeah. Oh. She's an incredible woman. She lives up in Brick. And she'll come down to worship with us every once in a while. It's a trek. So really neat lady. Get to know her when she's here. Okay. Oh, and I don't know who that is. That's Mary Lou, and that's, believe it or not, Joey. And yeah, that's a, man, we're getting old. Thanks. Sharon and Melissa, right? Yeah. How old were you? How old were you there, Melissa?
Oh my God.
Okay. Very good. Melissa and the kids, a Caleb and a Naomi, right? Yeah. Carmen and Lydia. Right. Who's that in the back there with them? All right. Carmen should be back with us soon. Next. It's Gloria and her mom. Gloria and her mom. I knew her mom before I knew Gloria. A solid believer. She's a really neat woman. Her mom and dad used to babysit Joey for us many years ago. Go ahead. Margie. All right. Kelsey and Kristen. All right. Yeah. Neat. Go ahead. Diane and her mom, Emma. Diane, who's not able to be with us this morning, but that's her. A wonderful picture. Go ahead. Oh, Janine. Janine and her mom. And then who's that guy in the, who's that hippie? Butch and his mom. Oh, Butch, you have long hair, huh? All right, my man. And Emily chose this scripture today, and I think it's very appropriate. It's from Proverbs 31, 28 to 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. So thank you, moms. I think we have some gifts to give out. And Melissa and Naomi will help. Mary Lou, Bonnie, and Janine, did all of this, so we thanked them. In today's day and age, we figured you can use a holder with hand sanitizer in it to carry it when you go around. So anybody. Good. Guys, let's give the moms a hand. Thank you again. As we go to prayer, I just want to just mention, I don't know, we sent an email out earlier in the week that Gloria lost a brother this week, and I don't, so hopefully you all got that. Now she's in the hospital up in Bricktown. So we need to pray for Gloria today. We need to continue to pray for Carmen. And I feel real led to just pray for churches in general. We're going to be in for, I think over the next several years, especially, we're going to be in for a challenging time, but a good time. Because as we continue to follow Christ, he'll take care of it. He'll take care of it no matter what the challenges are. So let's pray today for Carmen and Gloria and for the church. Would you join me, please? Father, it's been a tough 15 or 16 months for everyone. In our own congregation, we've had people lose relatives. And it, Father, no matter what, you're never ready for that. But you're a good God, and you bring comfort and relief even through our grief. Pray right now, Father, for Gloria as she continues to mourn the loss of her brother in Virginia. We are glad to know that her brother was a solid believer, Father, and now he's with his Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for his wife, Carolyn, and the family, that you sustain them during this time. And Father, you just bring them all together and stand in unity as they mourn Peter's loss. We especially pray for Gloria, Father, that the physical issues would resolve themselves, and you lead her through a time of mourning, losing her only brother. So we want to commend her to you this morning. We thank you, Father, for Carmen. We pleased to hear the progress and that she might be released this week to come back to church. And so, Father, we just ask that the recovery could be complete for both her and Teresa. We are so glad to see BJ back with us, Father, and Lorraine and Brandon and those who were affected with COVID along the way. We ask also prayer for your churches. Father, it's amazing to me how many signs I see around as I drive around that are posted on businesses that want to hire people. And yet people seem to want to still stay home and collect unemployment. Father, this is wrong, and we just ask for a correction. We ask, Father, for people who are still hesitant about coming out to churches. We pray that churches reopen again and be true to their mission to which God has called them. Father, whether the public or the culture realizes it or not, we need Jesus more than ever. So, Father, help us to lovingly and boldly continue to pray, proclaim the gospel, and show love to a dying and lost world. I pray for our country, Father. I pray that those in the highest offices would look to your word and stop compromising. Look to you for wisdom and look to Jesus Christ for their salvation. And so, Father, we give all of this into your hands, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, we're going to look today, I guess I should preface this just a bit. Many years ago, I received a survey from Dr. Dobson. Dr. Dobson would focus on the family, and that survey said simply this, that on Mother's Day and Father's Day, there was a disparity going on in most churches. And that disparity was that on Mother's Day, preachers tend to praise the moms. On Father's Day, preachers tend to tear down the fathers. And from that point, and he was right. From that point on, I refused to do another Mother's Day or Father's Day message for that simple reason. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, it's a privilege to be a parent. It really is. It's a privilege to be a parent, and it's a privilege, and all of us had parents, right? I mean, if we didn't have parents, we wouldn't be here. So all of us had parents, and we know the privilege of that and the privilege of family. Having said all of that, I chose to pick messages that would apply to both male and female, and God still makes male and female, and we can be encouraged by all of that. Now, the one thing that I want to start with is, for those of you who are moms, I want to ask the question, have you ever had one of those days where you wanted to change your name? Right? You probably had. Yeah. And you probably wanted to throw in the towel and just say, I'm done. My name's not Mom anymore. Bless you. Call somebody else, you know. I'm sure. Yeah, I'm off duty. Thank you. I'm off duty. And I'm sure. But, you know, the truth of the matter is simply this, that when you're a parent, it's no longer about you, right? It's about being involved in something bigger than yourself. We've kind of lost that culturally. We've kind of lost it in the church because we have grown up, for most of us have grown up in an extremely narcissistic culture. You know what a narcissist is? It's all about me. It's all about me. The world revolves around me. And listen, whether you think you're a narcissist or not, chances are you are and you don't know it. You know why? Because the sin nature is narcissistic. And we're all born with the sin nature. Ever since sin came into the world, God has been challenging mankind to become part of something bigger than themselves. And I can't emphasize this enough. Now, I want to give you an example. When I did all my interviews for my doctorate with millennials, one of the things that I learned very quickly, by the way, millennials are Melissa's age, Joey's age, you know, that type of thing. Emily's kind of on the cusp of a millennial, and Andrew too, but from that age up to 40s, almost 50 now, are millennials. And this is what they told me. I asked them hard questions, and these were all people associated somewhat with the church. And what they told me is that they will not invest their time, their talents, their gifts, or their treasure in something that won't make a difference in this world. And you don't say, well, look, you know, they're selfish. No, they're not. They want to be part of something bigger than themselves to make a difference in this world. I think the younger generations do too, all right? A lot of my research, by the way, was from the military, from the Army in particular. And what I appreciate about the military services in this country is they challenge their ladies and gentlemen in training to understand that they're part of something now bigger than themselves. And they're here to defend the Constitution and our country and our freedoms, just like a police officer and others who are civil servants. They're part of something bigger than themselves. And millennials, to every one of the interviews, affirmed the same thing. And I didn't ask the question slantedly. My question is, what is keeping you from becoming involved in your church? That was my question. What is keeping you from becoming involved in your church? And every answer was, I don't see where we're a part of something bigger. Which means the churches have unfortunately become ingrown. You know what that means? It's all about us. It's not about what's out there. It's all about us. How does the church become ingrown or narcissistic? Well, it's very simple, okay? Those of you who have been in churches, and especially applies to pastors. By the way, pastors are resigning at the highest rate ever now. And the reason why they're resigning is because people aren't committing to doing the work that we were called to do. And so they're throwing in the towel. Now, I'm not justifying it. I always say it's too soon to quit, because I really think God's working. I think God's working in a lot of ways. But listen, God's mission is clearly stated for us, Matthew 28, right? Go into your world, making disciples, not converts, making disciples of all people, teaching Jesus' words, teaching them what I've taught you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so these millennials are saying, I'll gladly come out to church on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night if I know my efforts are going to make a difference out there. And they should be commended for that. They really should be commended for that. I've heard so much bashing of young people, and it's got to stop. For the most part, young people aren't lazy. They just don't have direction. For the most part, young people want to be part of something bigger. And you know what, parents, whether you're a mom or a dad, that's our job, to direct them in such a way that where they become part of something bigger. I was thrilled when Joey decided to take on the Ramsey course, Financial Peace, because we had people come to that who weren't part of the church. And people learned how to be financially responsible so they could bless others. So they can bless others. That's why we did the Bob Goff series, right? And his emphasis was always love others. It's not just the people in the church. We need to love one another, but love others. Go outside the church. And the reason why churches turn ingrown is because we may have had a couple of failures along the way where, you know, we tried and it didn't work. And, you know, you and I are no better than the Apostle Paul. And he's saying, what do you mean? He was a super apostle. Well, first of all, there's no such thing. Second of all, he had his share of failures. I don't think after all is said and done, and you read about all the missionary journeys about Paul, not one of us could blame him if he wanted to throw in the towel. That's it. Beaten, left for dead, stoned, not marijuana, right? Stoned. People, you know, I could picture Paul being Rodney Dangerfield sometimes. They get no respect. I get no respect, right? Preaching to many people, Jews and Gentiles alike, and seeing very little response. And yet Paul never quit. He never quit. In our culture, we quit too easily. How do I know that? We quit too easily on marriages. We quit too easily on our children. We quit too easily on church. We quit too easily on God. Look at this. Add to this, Paul left Athens, and if you remember, he caused a riot in Athens with the gospel, and went to Corinth. Now, Corinth, let me explain something about Corinth. Do you remember New York City before Rudy Giuliani? New York City before Giuliani was a sewer. It was a sewer. Corinth, in Paul's time, was 10 times worse. All sorts of pagan rituals, even reports of child sacrifices, rampant prostitution, temple prostitutes, and it gets worse. You know, I mean, to be called a Corinthian back then was to be called a pervert. That's how strong it was, right? So here's Paul. It's almost like he went from the frying pan into the fire. He didn't give up. He goes, and he met a Jew named Aquila and a native of Pontus who recently came from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome, and Paul wanted to see them. They were both believers. So this blows my mind. I'm not sure how far we'll get today, but this blows my mind. You have Paul coming, you know, being run out of Athens, literally run out of Athens, coming to a city that was completely decadent, and he's meeting up with these two people who were ordered because of their Christian faith to leave Rome, and Paul wanted to see them. God is working. We sang that, right? He's still working, even though we don't know how. Is there anybody here who could figure out the mind of God? But we try, don't we? God, I can do this better than you. Yeah, no, you can't. Oh, God, I think you made a mistake. No, he didn't. Listen, because Paul was a tent maker, and so were Priscilla and Aquilas. Tent maker back then was lucrative, right? Paul had this trade. He was also a Pharisee, but he was a tent maker. Tent makers made good money, and this is how he supported himself. And then besides working every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. This was his normal practice. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. Why was Paul able to do that when Silas and Timothy came? You know why? Because in times of difficulty, brothers and sisters in Christ stick together. They stick together. They don't quit on one another. And what Silas and Timothy did, we find out in a different part of Scripture, was they brought an offering from the Christians in Macedonia to free up Paul that he wouldn't have to work and he could devote himself to preaching. Even through discouragements, God will send encouragements. Right? I mean, what an encouragement. Hey, Paul, the brothers and sisters took up a collection and they want to see you released and free to preach without working. You know, and Paul, well, you know, he didn't sit home and collect unemployment. He worked. Look, Paul preached. The other thing that we lose sight of, and listen, spiritual warfare is very real. Does anybody here don't believe that? Very real. Anytime you and I will take a step of faith to serve Jesus, guess who's going to try to block it? The devil and his cronies. Now, in all fairness, we don't need the devil and his cronies to block it. because there's enough sinfulness in us to say, Lord, you really don't want me to do this, do you? See, Lord, I may get hurt. Or Lord, I may, you know, people may just walk out on me. Or Lord, whatever excuse we have. No, expect opposition. We have to train the church to expect opposition. And the only way we will survive spiritual warfare is through prayer and unity and encouraging one another and supporting one another through whatever we're experiencing. How many of you have gone through bad times and were grateful that family was there for you? Same thing. We're family, and we should be there, you know, for one another. It's a fact that most times churches shoot their wounded. They don't help them. They usually hurt them. And even at that, that shouldn't stop us from doing what God calls us to do. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. In other words, you're rejecting the life-giving message of the gospel. He says, I've done it, everything I could. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles, which was what God called him to do. He's saying, look, you know, out of respect, they offered the gospel first to the Jews. Now I'll concentrate on the Gentiles. And Paul didn't get disappointed at this point. Well, he might have been disappointed, but he didn't quit. He said, well, God's redirecting me now. Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door. I love this. Talk about God's sense of humor. He leaves the synagogue after telling them, I'm done with you. And then he went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. And you know where he started to conduct church? Next door to the synagogue. I mean, this is incredible stuff, right? And look at what happens. Crispus, I love that name. I don't know why. But Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household. This is the leader of the synagogue next door. And his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. When the leader of the synagogue comes to the Lord, you better believe God is working. And then his household and many others, this guy has influence. Many others came to a saving knowledge of Christ and they were baptized. Now listen, all of us, I think, have had the experience of sharing Christ with someone. And initially, you may not see any results, right? You may run into him again and you share and you don't see results. But listen, God's working. We cannot save anyone, only God can. The only thing we can do is point them to the grace of Christ and the person and work of Jesus Christ. And God needs to do the rest. And, you know, I'm not going to dwell a long time on this story, but I've told you a couple of times about a woman who worked for me years ago. And she was very anti-Christian, very anti any religion. And she used to ask me questions, and when I would answer her questions, she would call me every name under the sun. I was a boss, okay? Every name under the sun, and you know, I'd back off, and she'd ask me more questions, and I'd take her. She left the company, go with another company, and her husband, who was in the heating and air conditioning, was doing a job for a woman, and on the coffee table was C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. It caught his attention. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. God was trying to get his attention. He asked the woman, can I read that during my lunch? And the woman says, you can have it. So he took the book, he read it, he brings it home, and tells his wife, you have to read this. She read it. Both she and her husband knelt down to receive Christ that night. Consequently, when I was in seminary, she writes a letter to me. And the letter said, Dear Lou, I want you to know my husband and I received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And I called her and I said, what happened? And she said, she told me the story about C.S. Lewis and the book. She read it. And she says, as I'm reading it, everything we talked about started coming back to me. And she says, we were both so overwhelmed. We know we needed Jesus. Humanly, I would have written her off. But God was still working. And this is why we can't get discouraged. Don't be discouraged. You know, if you come alongside of somebody and share the gospel with them, they don't respond right away. God's working. We just don't know how, but he's still working. Paul knew this. The leader of the synagogue. Wow. Let me see if I can finish this up real quick for you. One night the Lord spoke to Paul. Now, Paul's been through a lot here. He's been beat up, left for dead, whipped, abused, heckled. Any of you ever speak someplace and get heckled? Yeah, I have, okay? It's not a good feeling, right? You get heckled, right? And Paul is seeing the opposition, but then he's seeing the fruit. As the fruit becomes more, the opposition comes more. Wow, how do you like that? And the Lord gives him another encouragement. Do not be afraid. This is coming from Jesus himself. There's 365 do not be afraid clauses in the Bible. I don't think that's by accident. Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be what? In America, the evangelical church has to keep on speaking. It is not time to be silent. We've been silent for a lot of years, and COVID has made it worse. It is time for the church. Who's the church? Not the building. All of you. It's about time we keep on speaking about Jesus. And here's the reason why. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack or harm you because I have many people in this city. I'll unpack that for you in a minute, okay? Listen, while we're doing God's work, he's not saying here you'll never be harmed, okay? What he's saying here is you keep doing your work, and I'll guide you. People may attack you, but I'm going to guide you. The thing I know about God is that he won't call us home until our work is done. That's what I know, right? And so no one's going to attack you or harm you. And here's the reason why. Because God prepared many hearts in this decadent city to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Isn't that wonderful? I believe many hearts are prepared here, but we've been silent. Let me see how far I can get. I don't want to keep you here too late because I know some of you have reservations. So Paul stayed in Corinth for how many years? A year and a half. And doing what? Teaching them. Not only was he encouraged, but he stayed amidst the opposition, discipling people to ground them in the faith so that when opposition comes along, they don't quit. But they keep going. They keep going. You know, I think I'm going to stop here for today, and we'll tie this up next week. But listen, if you ask any pastor who's honest, I've met some who weren't honest, but if you ask any pastor who's honest, ministry is exhausting. It's exhausting. And you don't have to be a pastor to know that. You can be a choir leader. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You can be a small group leader. Ministry can be exhausting. Why is it exhausting? Because you're constantly giving of yourself. And if we're not careful and take time to stop and refuel, then we collapse. It could be exhausting. It could be discouraging. Every men's group I have started in my 30-plus years of ministry started with one man. That's how it started. I could have easily said, that's it. Nobody respond. Let's go home. No, I stuck with the one man. Then God saw fit to bring another out. And then another. And then another. Even in a small church like ours, we have 9 men, which is incredible. I like that more, but we have 9 men. So I had a meeting with Diego a week and a half ago, and he was talking about some of the discouragement. He says, Pastor, have you had this experience? I said, what experience, Diego? He says, you know, when you get involved with the lives of people, you can help them through a crisis, and then they say, goodbye. I say, yeah, it happens all the time, Diego. Welcome to ministry. You pour your heart and the soul into people, and this happens sometimes. But it can't let us stop doing what God calls us to do. You know why? Because he calls each of us something bigger than ourselves. I'm going to stop there today, and we'll resume next week, because this is Mother's Day, and I don't want to infringe on the mother's time. But I want to stop with a last question. Are you at a point where you need encouragement in ministry? Or maybe in a family? Are you at that point? Look to Jesus. He'll give you the encouragement. Don't be afraid. Just keep on doing what's right. Trust that God is working, even though you don't know how. Trust that God is working. Because what happens is when we say to God, listen, God, you must be too busy. I'm going to do this. We're going to mess it up big time. We always do, and people end up getting hurt. And be very aware of spiritual warfare. If you take a step for Christ, of faith, and you decide to increase your prayer time or to be a part of a ministry or to reach out to people, there's going to be warfare, but don't quit. In the power of the Holy Spirit, let Jesus' words ring in your heart. Do not fear, because I'm with you. Isn't that part of his promise anyhow? Don't fear, because I am with you. Listen, over the next several years for the church, we're going to feel like that we're trying to keep out the high tide with a broom. But we can't quit. We have to go on. Amen? Mothers, thank you for not quitting. Thank you for not quitting. Honestly, I don't think there's any tougher job in this world than being a mom. I'm just being honest with you. I don't think there's any tougher job in this world. I think the toughest job, to be honest with you, is to be a single mom. And that has to be incredibly hard. Thank you, mothers, for not quitting. And keep going. God will give you the encouragements along the way. How would you like to grow up in a Christian home of a pastor, and for some reason one of your children rebel? Happens all the time, by the way. One of your children rebels. And the rebellion is so great that the child, unfortunately, runs away and starts to live on the streets. And day after day passes, month after month, and all of a sudden you don't know if your child is even alive or dead. Well, what do? You pray. Carol and Jim Cimbala's daughter did exactly that. They didn't know where she was. They didn't know how she was supporting herself. They didn't know she was involved in drugs. But they hadn't seen her for a long time. And then one Tuesday night at prayer meeting, a woman stood up and prayed for her. The next day, Jim Cimbala is in his bathroom getting ready to go to the office. And his wife comes in and says, Jim, you need to come out. Somebody's here to see you. Like any good pastor would do, he said, can't they wait till I get to the office, right? And she says, no, Jim, you need to come out. So he comes out, and there's his daughter. Her first question was, who prayed for me? She came back. Her walk is stronger than it ever was, and she still plays keyboard for Brooklyn Tabernacle. Never give up. Always trust that God is working. Amen? So, I'll ask you this. If God is calling you to do something, legitimately calling you to do something, and again, calling you to do something that doesn't violate his word, but legitimately calling you to do something, will you follow? That's the question of the next song. Will you follow? Praise people, would you come up? And would you stand, please? Moms, I hope you have a blessed day today. May God help encourage your hearts and make you feel special, because you are special, and I thank you for all you do. For the rest of us, help us to follow Christ. Let's pray. Father, would you put a renewed spirit within us that you have called us to something bigger than ourselves, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to boast in Christ. Help us to tell others of his love, his grace. And Father, help us to be the mothers and the fathers that you would have us to be, godly mothers and godly fathers. And Father, may we know in difficult times that even though we don't see fruits of our labors, that you're still working. And we give you praise and glory for that. So Holy Spirit, help us to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless. Have a great day.